Hello and welcome to the Future of Women podcast. My name is Brooke Raskoff and I am an artist manager at music and technology company Q&A, as well as the vice chair of diversity and inclusion for women in music. It is my absolute pleasure to introduce today's guest, Bryn Elliott, because she is not only a brilliant singer-songwriter, but is also my management client and dear friend. She is not your typical pop artist. Bryn graduated from Harvard in 2018 with not just a philosophy degree under her belt, but also 200 shows around North America and a recording contract with Atlantic Records. Bryn went on to release her very first project just days after graduation and instantly topped radio charts with her first single, Might Not Like Me, and went on tour with Why Don't We? Bryn has had an exciting start to 2021 with the release of her new single, Tell Me I'm Pretty, which in and of itself is a female empowerment anthem that has already gained incredible traction on streaming platforms and on radio charts. Welcome, Bryn.
Hello, hello, Brooke. This is so much fun.
Because we don't talk enough throughout the entire day.
We really talk every 5 minutes, and this is just great to do a different format.
Yeah, of course. And this is such a great podcast. Thank you to Future of Women for having us. And I kind of want to just share your story with the world and give a glimpse of the music industry through an artist lens and your journey as a female in the music industry. So let's start with the crazy thing is Harvard. A lot of artists kind of skip the college thing or drop out. Wow. How did a college education, let alone one at that caliber, fit into your journey as an artist?
Yeah, it actually was the thing that revealed to me that I was an artist. I decided my freshman year of high school that I wanted to go to college, which was a new thing for my family. If I were to go, I would have been the first person in my family to go to college. And I just really deeply, deeply desired that. And I'm also just like a crazy ambitious person. And I loved the English classes I was taking. And so I was like, okay, I want to go where all the other people who are super into reading go. And my first thought was Harvard. And we Googled what a college application was. And that just kind of started this trajectory for me in high school where I became very committed to my academics and to just getting into college. During that time, I was just so overwhelmed with this sort of new world of trying to get into a school like Harvard. And I was overwhelmed with schoolwork and I was studying really hard. And my dad had an old guitar in the corner of our house. And one day I asked him, I was like, hey, can I just play this? I think I just sort of needed something to do that had nothing to do with my college application. And I think I was really sort of feeling like my whole life was a resume. And so at the end of the long school days, I would go into my room and close the door and sit on the floor and learn on YouTube how to play chords on this guitar that my dad had. And then I started having all these feelings and going through things. And I started writing songs with those chords that I was learning. And this kind of just became my way to unwind at the end of the day. It was very therapeutic. I didn't really tell anyone about it until a family friend caught wind of these songs and he recorded music and offered to help me record them. And I had another friend suggest that I put them on my college application, which I did. And my parents were like, what? You write songs? Like, what is this? During that time, I sent off my applications to Harvard and I ended up not getting in the first time I applied, but I did get an opportunity to, through another friend, lots of amazing friends, to go and work on my music for a year after high school with a producer named Cliff Magnus, who produced some of my favorite artists like Avril Lavigne and Kelly Clarkson. And I really at that time wasn't thinking, oh, I'm going to be an artist. I was thinking, okay, I'll do this as kind of like a year in between high school and college, and I'll just reapply to Harvard again. So that whole year, I'm like producing my music and writing with Cliff and really loving it and not really knowing what to do with that idea that I loved producing music and I loved writing it. I then get into Harvard, which totally blew my mind and my family's mind. So then I had to sit with myself and these two sides of myself that were dreams, like two dreams that were coming true. the one being Harvard and the other being music. And I think when music really clicked was the summer before Harvard, is when I went on my first tour. It was kind of after that experience that I knew, okay, I'm going to go to Harvard. This is a dream. This is something I want to do, not only for me, but for my family. But then I'm going to be an artist. So yeah, I guess you could say without Harvard, I would never have discovered or Harvard rejecting me in the beginning. You know, I would never have discovered that I was an artist.
Everything happens for a reason.
There you go.
But that is very inspiring that you were able to do both at once so well. And I kind of want to talk a little bit about your time at Harvard, because you studied female philosophers, and I'm curious how your studies in that influenced, if at all, your music and your writing process. Yeah.
Philosophy in general was a great subject for me because I did want to write pop music. Pop music is about these universal human experiences. And philosophy is about that as well. I always say they were like two sides of the same coin. But then I met a professor named Allison Simmons, who had such a huge impact, introduced me to the fact that there were women philosophers in the early modern period, which was like when Descartes and Spinoza in the like 1600s England, these women were writing. And you know, women didn't have access to formal education back then. The only access they had was through their husbands. I was just so fascinated by, first of all, their philosophy and their work. It was very illuminating for issues that I found within essentially the philosophy of like Descartes. But then I also just thought about them as these pioneers for women, these women who said, we don't care if this is socially unacceptable. We just want to write our own philosophy because we're passionate about it. And that just encouraged me in my own writing, reading about these women, and showed me the importance of being a woman and speaking up and getting your voice out there. And so a lot of my music, I wrote my first single, Might Not Like Me, right after I had taken a class on these women from Allison, from Professor Simmons. And then I just kind of keep writing songs about being a woman. And
amazing. Your latest single, which was released in January, Tell Me I'm Pretty. It's a female empowerment anthem. It has great meaning behind it. And I want to talk about the meaning behind the song, but also your inspiration for the music video, which brings in a lot of the historical elements that you just mentioned in your studies at Harvard.
Yeah. So Tell Me I'm Pretty is my current single. It started when I was a junior at Harvard, and I was watching this scandal unfold on campus where the men's soccer team had this group chat where they rated women on the women's soccer team on their physical attractiveness. They literally gave them like a numerical rating, and then some pretty horrific things were said about these women and some of these women I knew. And so it was just hard watching them go through that and just kind of reckoning with this idea of, wow, this is still an issue. It was 2016, and it was just like, why are women still being objectified in such blatant ways, or in any ways for that matter? So I remember writing down and just thinking about how I wanted to write a song about this moment, and the lyrics that ended up in Tell Me I'm Pretty, Maybe I'm Worth More Than Some Numbers or a Score, kind of had their beginning then. And then fast forward 3 years, and I meet a woman named Michelle Buzz, who is a songwriter, an artist here in Los Angeles. And we just really connected and became really close friends and had the conversation one day about being women in the music industry in the age of the internet and how we feel this pressure to present our selfies on Instagram in certain ways. Like, we would never post a selfie without makeup. It just had to be perfect. And I just looked at her and I said, we have to write a song about this. And so we did. And then that's when Tell Me I'm Pretty came. You mentioned the music video. Mm-hmm. Because of my background in studying the women of history, I wanted to create a visual that spoke to that, because when we talk about women or where we're at with being women in 2021, I really wanted to show that the internet has exposed this thing that's kind of been around since the beginning of time, this idea of women being reduced to their bodies and being objectified. And that was just an important motif for me to draw on. In every culture and time, there are certain beauty standards. And it's so amazing how women have taken ownership of their lives and who they are and moved through those sorts of standards. So yeah, that was the inspiration for the video.
It's drawn a lot of attention from Bridgerton fans.
Yes.
It is very
around the same time.
Very period piece, but we did shoot the Tell Me I'm Pretty music video well before we knew Bridgerton existed. Tell Me I'm Pretty came first.
Yes. Love you, Bridgerton, but we love Bridgerton.
Amazing. But yeah, I loved when we were talking about the concept of the music video, you brought up this idea of comparing corsets and how that impacted women in that time to filters today, and how that's really created a construct of beauty in our society. And I just thought that was really interesting how you drew your historical and philosophical learnings from school and just your basic interests into not just your songwriting, but how they're represented visually and how they connect with women today.
Yeah. Thank you. And I think too, just to like add to that, I've seen as the music video's been out, there's been like conversation. And I think one of the things that's important for me to also communicate is that it's not as if corsets are bad or filters are bad. What's important is how they're shaping us and how we view ourselves. And I think as women continue to embrace their own freedom, it's just important to know how a filter is making you think about your own self and your own body. That's the most important part of the commentary.
I love that. We shot this music video in the middle of a pandemic, which was a bit of a struggle, but this year has been weird for everyone. And obviously you haven't been able to be on tour and out on the road, but how has it been releasing music during these times and how have you adapted?
I feel like you can speak to this too. You've really been on the journey with me. It was a struggle is a good way to describe it. I think, you know, the first 3 to 4 months of the pandemic, everything was shutting down. And obviously the whole world and our country was trying to figure out what was going on. And so there wasn't a lot of ability to have clarity on what to do or how to do it. And we hadn't made any music videos. I had some songs ready to go, but there was a lot that needed to get done before we could release. I'm an artist that loves being on the road. I thrive in real in-person situations, and that was just not available to us last year. So I think every artist kind of had to make their own call on what was appropriate for them. I'm so grateful for Taylor Swift releasing 2 albums. It definitely got me through. And I know that meant so much to her fans and to lovers of music. So much great music came out last year. And I decided just with where I was at to wait till the beginning of this year. And I feel good about that. It's been exciting now to have music out and to kind of start to see the world starting to head, I think, towards healing and exciting times. I learned a lot of skills that I wanted to learn when I was on the road, like cooking a good meal. Did a lot of that for my family. And I learned some production stuff for songwriting and wrote some songs. I think we did the most with the time for sure.
We're coming out the other side, I hope.
My parents got vaccinated this morning. So
yay! That's so huge. Talking about some of your favorite female artists who have inspired you over the years and are kind of at the forefront of your mind today.
Oh my goodness, they're endless. When I was 17, I was introduced to Brandi Carlile's music from my mom. We had been listening in the car, and then she surprised me with tickets to a Brandi show that was happening near our house at this amphitheater. And I remember being 17 years old and seeing her, and it was kind of in that time of my life where I was writing songs, but nobody really knew about it. I didn't really know what it was. But I remember watching Brandi that night and thinking, whatever that is, I want to do that. I couldn't even describe that feeling. And flash forward to, I guess it was like 4 years later, I ended up getting to open for Brandi. She did a New Year's Eve show every year. And I got to open that show 3 years in a row on New Year's Eve with her. And she was just the coolest, most amazing person. And I just love her her lyrics and her artistry, and more than anything else, her presence on stage. She just takes up space in the way that a woman should. It's the coolest thing to witness. So Brandy's a huge inspiration. I love pop artists. I mentioned like Avril Lavigne, Alicia Keys, Kelly Clarkson, these strong female artists who have really made their voice heard in the pop world. Yeah, oh, goodness, Adele, Taylor Swift. I do this little a cappella intro before all of my sets, and it was inspired by listening to a lot of Nina Simone. Her music is just out of this world, incredible, iconic, but also just listening to her talk and her interviews and talking about her own experience. She's also a big one for me as well.
This was a really great way for people to get a glimpse into a female artist's experience, but I do think it's a fun thing on the topic to call out that we do have a fully female team.
Yes, yes. Do we have like two guys?
We do. Yeah, there's a couple sprinkled in there, but yeah. Majority from label to publishers to yes. Management. It's not fully female, but 95%, which I think is really special. And as someone who works so hard with women in music and in my own career and life to lift the voices of other females and empower other women, it's exciting to see what our team can do and come up with and create as a group of really just passionate females.
Exactly. And I just feel so blessed that that happened. Like, I didn't set out to have a majority female team, but I just feel like the energy is so good and could not be more grateful for that.
Yeah, to give people a little sneak peek into what's coming. What is next for you?
Yes, I am going to be releasing more music this year around the Tell Me I'm Pretty release. I'll give a little tease, a little hint. I'm going to be doing some more things around that song that have to do with women supporting women and women artist collaborations. And that's all I will say. At this moment, but look out for that. It's gonna be awesome. And then the second thing is I am gonna be releasing an EP this year that is all ready to go. We're just finalizing some things, and it's an EP about being honest and being real. And I think Tell Me I'm Pretty felt like the first song to release just because it's about being real as a woman in the age of the internet, and the AP just kind of expands on that topic. So I'm excited to get that out there this
Yay,
year.
Yay, me too.
Yes.
We're very excited. Amazing. Well, thank you again to Future of Women for having us. Yeah. You can check out Bryn's music on all streaming platforms, and you can check out that exciting Tell Me I'm Pretty video that we talked about on YouTube. A little manager plug there.
This is great.
But yeah, thanks for having us.
Thank you, Future of Women. Thank you, Brooke. This was awesome.